Well, incredible groundswell. And Didi, we thank you so much for all of your incredible work in the world. You are a beaver yourself, always creating that we need to know and hear and act upon. So we are truly in your debt. And
awesome.
Thank you for all the things that you are doing in the world.
Thanks. Two other things just before we close. We have a soil sponge sort of foundation course coming up in September. Mm-hmm. And I'm very likely soon going to be starting a course about policy design and project design using the kind of living systems approach, because I think that's part of the problem is that people design policy with the same kind of, you know, for that thinking.
Yeah. Exactly. Using the same tools that created the problem.
Exactly.
We go anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. So yes, if you join the Substack, you'll hear about both of those.
Yeah. And also Landon Leadership Initiative has a lot of, has all this information too. That's kind of a core
place. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's landandleadership.org. It'll be in the show notes. So thank you so much, Carrie.
Always great to talk to you. And we just keep going. Yep.
Carry on.
Thank you, Didi.
Hey, listeners, to check out the extended recording of this show or to explore our other shows, visit our website, ecojusticeradio.org, and subscribe to our podcast. This has been Eco Justice Radio and our show, Rehydrating California, Nature's Call for Action. Thank you to our guest, Didi Pershaus, and thank you to our listeners for joining us. Please connect with us on social media at Eco Justice Radio, SoCal350, and Wilder Utopia. If you like what you've heard, you want others to be informed, subscribe and share the episodes. You've been listening to Eco Justice Radio, Project of SoCal 350, executive producer myself, Jack Eit, co-host Carrie Kim, an engineer and original music by Blake Quake Beats. And until next time, remember, the power is yours.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, also heard at translator K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM and translator K282BH in Philomath at 104.3 FM. And we're streaming at the top of our lungs on www.kboo.fm. Thanks for tuning in.
It's time to make your voice heard and your impact matter. Join us for our KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive and support grassroots media by becoming a member today. Go to kboo.fm/give to help us reach our $45,000 goal by September 20th.
KBOO Community Radio's annual meeting and board election will take place on Saturday, September 20th at 11:30 a.m. at Mississippi Studios in North Portland. The meeting will include a state of the station presented by KBOO's Board of Directors and an opportunity for members to meet the candidates running in the board election. KBOO will introduce its 2026 to 2027 operating plan and will present its first Diane Carl Mentorship Award. New directors will be announced at the meeting, followed by a musical performance by Mr. Vail's math class. Again, KBOO Community Radio's annual meeting and board election will be held on Saturday, September 20th at 11:30 a.m. at Mississippi Studios, located at 3939 North Mississippi Avenue. Doors open at 11 a.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm/board25.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from Tabor Space, presenting their End of Summer Fest benefit concert Sunday, September 21st from 1 to 7 p.m. The event will feature an afternoon of live music and a craft fair. Tickets and info at taborspace.org.
Hey everyone, Joseph here, one of the co-hosts of Life Stamp Stories from Here and There. I'm here to remind you about our KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive and just the importance of community media when we need it the most. Help us reach our goal of $45,000 before September 20th and help amplify local voices. You can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. For years, KBOO has received about 10% of its funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. Recently, Congress voted to rescind over $1 billion in funding for CPB grants, and shortly after that, we learned that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting will shut down at the end of the year. This means KBOO has about $110,000 it relied on that it won't get in 2026. But we do know that we can rely on you. Our loyal listeners and supporters like you make KBOO possible. Please give at kboo.fm/donate today. Hi, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and this is Life Stamps, stories from here and there. I'm Joseph.
I am Tyson.
Join us every other Thursday at 10 a.m. as we discuss exciting destinations around the world. They're not always from personal experience, but never without cultural awareness and a passion for travel. Welcome to Life Stamps, stories from here and there, and this is Joseph, and I'm here with Tyson. Hey, Tyson.
Hey, Joseph. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I got some fun but bittersweet news for you.
Lay it on me. I think I know what you're going to say.
What do you think I'm going to say?
I think that you're going to say that Salt and Straw is discontinuing their olive oil flavor.
No, I haven't even thought about that. Is that really going to happen?
No, that's just what I thought you were going to say.
No.
I haven't heard anything about that. Yeah. So
no,
I actually don't think that they're doing that.
Sad news is this is the last Life Stamps episode. We're ending season 6, everybody. And we're taking a few months off, and we'll be back on Spotify as a podcast after
that. So to be clear, this is our last episode, not ever, but right. Our last episode on KBOO.
The last episode on KBOO is our last KBOO show of Life Stamps. And the podcast will continue on in a few months for season 7. So that is that.
Bittersweet indeed. Well, it was lovely being on the radio. It's honestly more than I could have ever asked for when I started doing this podcast with you.
Yeah.
So
it's got to know each other really well.
Great times. Yep. Yes, we have.
Yeah.
We've been at each other's throats, you know, have a couple black eyes from that one time. No, just kidding.
I don't want to do a show about Cuba.
We don't fight.
Yeah.
Since it's our last show, it's been a lovely trip. And I feel like this whole being on KBOO has been like, it's had like the ups and downs of like a fun road trip.
Well, you know, and like as seasons change and as leaves fall, I only think about one place that is in Oregon that is great for fall foliage, and that would be New England. Everybody always talks about it.
Oh, and that's also a great place to road trip through.
Yeah. It's late September and everything, so I think let's talk about taking a road trip through New England our final episode. Why don't we do
that? New England in the fall it is. All right, well, I think I know the answer to this question, but what inspired you to talk about road tripping through New England?
It's the right time of year to do it. is, you know, you gotta go in September when those leaves are just yellow and orange and
you already
red
said it.
And gold and just magical.
So how would you recommend the, like, planning the route? Like, would you be really precise and be like, I'm going to plan out everything on this route, or would you leave some room for spontaneity?
I'd leave some room for spontaneity, but I mean, I kind of did a little bit more of a rigid itinerary, you know. Let's, I guess, explain more to people. You know, a lot of people know where New England is in the United States, but also for our international listeners.
Right.
That basically refers to the small six.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to be fair, the history of New England is much older than here it is on the West Coast in the United States, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
It started as the Plymouth colony
right.
in 1620 from the Pilgrims, you know, seeking religious freedom, essentially, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Colonial religious freedom, you know, some of the first sites of the United States during the colonial expeditions of our fair nation. And one of the first settlements was Massachusetts Bay. And that later did form the Small Six. And so when we're talking about New England and the Small Six, we're talking about Northeast United States, of the states of Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Massachusetts.
Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Rhode Island, Massachusetts.
What did you say?
Maine, Vermont, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Massachusetts. Connecticut.
New Hampshire.
Maine, Vermont, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Massachusetts.
Connecticut.
Connecticut. Yeah. Those are the six states.
Six, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
You keep saying less than six.
I know. I that's why I was like, oh, Connecticut.
Yeah. But okay. Anyways, yeah. So there's six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is interesting because I think sometimes there's some confusion or like crossover of like the Northeastern U.S. and New England.
Right.
And that, like, I have definitely made that mistake of thinking that like New York is part of New England, but New York is not.
New York is not. That would be an early colony of old colonial, what do you have, the original 13 colonies on the first American flag or whatever, but it's not one of the first of the old colonies. New England is just really old.
It right.
was actually named by a guy with a pretty unique name, John Smith.
Huh.
Named the region.
I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, named the region in 1614 with a very original name, like New England. As
a guy with an original name, naming something original.
Yeah.
This is why we have all these duplicate names in America. It all started with John Smith.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
The great
American tradition of just copying other things.
I hear him, John Smith. You might have heard of me. Anyways.
Which John Smith?
Which John Smith do you declare yourself, sir? Well, I am it's John.
Like, can John Smith please raise your hand? And then, like, 20 people raise their hands.
Right. Okay. Let's, can John Smith of Connecticut. And then you still have 10 John Smiths. So it is what it is.
There's a lot of Smiths that migrated to the New World.
Yeah. And, you know, Smith is probably an old former last name taken from a blacksmith at some point or some other type of smith. So it just became a last name. But when you talk about old world trades and old world industries, New England's old agricultural industries would be small farms, shipbuilding, and fishing. So you kind of think in that context, that's a lot of the historical backbone that drove the early economics of early American history that you would expect to see as you were road tripping through New England as well, especially in the coastal regions and stuff of Chesapeake Bay and stuff of this nature as well. So, yeah. And then, you know, some of the earliest universities, first, you know, those Ivy League schools like Harvard and Yale and stuff, you know, first got established in the new world of New England because they were pretty well set on starting up a new country. So you're going to make sure that you establish a form of government. You're going to establish a form of industries. And you're going to establish a form of higher education.
Yeah.
So that pretty much is your little history lesson on New England today and stuff. And, you know, I can go into, like, you know, like, Basically, I looked at it like a one-week itinerary of doing a road trip through New England, but I decided to take the same itinerary and make it like a two-week itinerary. That way it does give people more time to kind of free flow based off of any of these locations or something around these locations. You know, they are very tiny states. I feel like you could, if you were to just driving-wise do this whole circle that I'm going to present to you, leaving Boston and returning to Boston, starting through Rhode Island, and then Connecticut, going up to Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, and then back to Massachusetts, it would be probably about the same as if like you drove from Portland to the state border of California, circled back and came back. So you you could easily do that.
You're passing through multiple states that.
Yeah, you could easily do that in like 3-4 days. Yeah. But, you know, you probably would want 2 weeks if you were going to do like a circular trip just in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it seems like the best way to do that, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but is to get off the freeway and just take local roads for the entire road trip. Or smaller highways where you're going through towns along the way.
And that's the nice thing about New England too, because really the real big mega city is Boston. All these other capitals of these other states are really just kind of like big towns in a way, big townships, if you will. You know, they're little cities, but they're not very big, any of them, other than Boston. Boston's the only thing that's like legitimately feels like a real city and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I keep wondering to myself, what would Harvey go on a road trip like this? Do you think he would?
Oh, Harvey. You know, I think he needs to get out.
Yeah,
I think he should go on a road trip if he hasn't done it.
He never made that expedition to Greece. Yeah, we had talked about a couple weeks ago.
I mean, he said he was going to have some electric ouzo, but all right, yeah, let's hear what he has to say.
All right.
If one was to travel through the whimsical landscape of New England, there are many a plentiful sights to see. Let's start with the stunning fall foliage in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, or visit the picturesque coastal towns like Kennebunkport in Maine, or experience the historic Freedom Trail in Boston. Don't miss the scenic drives along the Kankamagas Highway and the coast of Maine, and be sure to try some fresh lobster and local maple syrup. Yum yum! You could also visit the charming college towns like Hanover, New Hampshire, and Cambridge, Massachusetts. If you're interested in history, the mansions in Newport, Rhode Island, are also definitely worth a visit. That's all I got for you guys today, and next season, try to say thank you a little more often.
Thank you, Harvey. Thank you. Just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much.
You know, all thoughts considering, when we do season 7, you know, Harvey, you don't have to be a part of it. If you're over it, it's fine. The feeling can be mutual. You can pack up and leave, and, you know, me and Joseph will carry on and just keep the content coming.
Yeah, Harvey, never mind, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, we'll work it out. I mean, we've been through, you know, like little hiccups with Harvey before. It's nothing new.
I think he's just a little sour, you know. I think that just the heat is getting to him.
Yeah, it's been a long summer.
Yeah, I think he's just ready for some relaxation, for the summer crowds to go home, and for things to chill out a little bit.
Yeah. But I mean, needless to say, thank you again, Harvey. You gave us a lot of good suggestions on, you know, taking a road trip through New England and some places.
Yes, Harvey, thank you.
And I'm not going to talk about every place that Harvey mentioned, but I will say my itinerary starts us off in Boston. And then it's going to take us through Newport and Providence, Rhode Island. And then we're going to make our way to New Haven, Connecticut. And then we'll go north up to Stowe and Burlington, Vermont. And then we'll go through, he had mentioned the Kankanagas Highway of New Hampshire, which will be the best highway of driving for the leaf peeping for this time of year for sure.
The leaf peeping?
Leaf peeping.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say that next time it's fall.
Yeah.
It's great leaf peeping season.
It's great leaf peeping season, don't you know? and then from that highway, then we'll go to Bar Harbor and Portland, Maine. You know, so we're kind of going to leave Boston, do a bit of coastal stuff, go into the countryside, going through the mounds and the leaves and stuff of Vermont and New Hampshire, and then go back coastal, you mm-hmm. know, through Maine.
Okay.
Making our way south back to Boston. That's mm-hmm. that's our circular route.
Okay.
You know, and yeah. And so, as I said before, it can be done in a week, but an extra day in each microregion is highly revered, like Paul Revere.
So
it's, you know.
So take us away. So, okay, so Boston's first. What's what are we doing in Boston?
Ooh. Well, first off, I just want to mention activities you can think about through the whole two-week ordeal.
Now, you want me to think about activities?
Anybody who was doing this two-week road trip in New mm-hmm. England, here's activities you can consider thrown into your itinerary.
These are just for your consideration.
For your consideration.
You don't have to do this. It's not required.
No, but I mean, these are options that are available to you, obviously, on a road trip like such. Ocean cliff views. Lighthouses you can do research, and you can find many a plentiful within New England mm-hmm. on the coastal regions. Mm-hmm. Leaf peeping trails and hiking, mm-hmm. you know, you can find many of that while making your road trip through this region. Quaint little shops and quaint little towns, mm-hmm. you know, with old world recipes and stuff like this. That's quintessential New England mm-hmm. stuff. You can find many a plentiful of that in these different little towns. And mm-hmm. then, you know, colonial architecture, many a plentiful in all these little towns. Classic diners and cafes as well.
Mm-hmm.
College towns, you know, to pick up different college town atmosphere, vibes and stuff. Some Ivy League, some other just, you know, more prestigious university towns.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, farms, farmers markets. Ghost tours. There is a lot of, you know, kind of creepy lore about New England and stuff. Mm-hmm. Also with horror writers and stuff, you know, you've got mm-hmm. the Stephen King has a mansion in Bangor, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
You have H.P. Lovecraft
mm-hmm.
Came from this region.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a lot of this creepy lore because I think just the winters are so kind of dreadful and mm-hmm. dreary and stuff in New England.
Mm-hmm.
So it leaves for the art of great writing
mm-hmm.
as well and mm-hmm. stuff from people that grew up in this region. And
right.
then, and of course, you know, you're just your charming harbors and stuff, you know, of people in the industries and the fishing and the boats and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, now rolling back, you are starting in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So Tyson's tips for Boston.
All right.
Before taking a road trip.
Tyson's tips for Boston.
Will be check out the Quincy Market Food Hall.
Okay. What's this one all about?
50 of them, dude.
50.
50 different food stalls with wow. inside this food market.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to find something to eat there.
Can I find lobster rolls?
You should be able to. There's 50 things to choose from.
Mm-hmm. Is this kind of like in downtown?
I don't know. Actually, I haven't been there. I've been to Boston, but I haven't been to the Quincy Market.
I've been to a massive food hall.
Okay, you might have
it
been
It might
there.
Have been that one.
Was it, yeah, massive?
It was big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a lobster roll when you went
there? You know, unfortunately, I didn't have one at that particular food hall.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, at the time I thought like, oh, they're like $30 here, thinking like, oh, that's expensive because we're in Boston, and then yeah. you know, driving to Portland, Maine,
and then it was 35
random little cafe and got a lobster roll there. No, it was just the same price. It was also $30.
Lobster's yeah. lobster.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, so it's just expensive. It's not just Boston. Like, yeah, so I they made me wish that I had gotten it in Boston at that food hall.
Right.
Also, I wish I had more than one lobster roll because I got a cold one. And yeah. I wish I want to try a hot one because the cold one has mayonnaise on it and it's not really my thing.
Yeah, more in the drawn butter type.
Yeah.
You know that food truck that goes around different states now called Cousins Maine Lobster? And they do lobster rolls.
Oh, no,
rolls.
I don't know about it.
They're a food truck and they show up at different events.
Uh-huh.
And they became this big thing because most states don't have lobster,
right?
And like,
so it's like a way for people to try lobster.
It's a lot, and they do lobster rolls, and according to their menu, the cold one with mayonnaise is a Maine roll and the hot one with drawn butter is a Connecticut roll.
Hmm.
But I don't know if that's accurate, but that's
I didn't see that kind of nomenclature in Boston or right. Portland, you know,
like, yeah,
I just saw a hot lobster roll or cold lobster roll.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if they're like trying to add some lore to it or something, or maybe that's like the like original, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, all right, so Quincy Market place.
Yeah, good place to, you know, probably try local foods as well as fusion foods, gastronomy, whatever. It's a food market hall, and it's the biggest one in Boston with 50 different options to choose from while you're in there.
Okay.
So, oh, shucks, you might be able to get some oysters.
Okay, question for you.
What?
East Coast oysters or West Coast oysters?
I'm going to say East Coast oysters. I don't like the sandiness of our West Coast razors. I'm thinking clams. Anyways, I think, honestly, I like East Coast shellfish in general better than West Coast shellfish.
I'm talking about oysters specifically, though.
Specifically, and so I'm not a connoisseur, and I am not the best one to ask because I'm kind of a mussel or a clam guy.
Gotcha.
So you don't generally be like, dude, there's oyster stew here. And I'm like, ooh, boy, yay. Sandy, I get to eat my soup with a weird spoon to try to get the sand out of it. I'm not into it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was gonna say I prefer I like Washington oysters.
Okay,
those are my favorite.
And you might have the right palate for it. Yeah. Like I said, I'm just not super crazy on oysters.
There was a year that I was having a lot of oysters, and I tried oysters like in California, Washington, New York. But in New York, I had like ones from like Massachusetts and East Coast.
So if the saying goes that the world is your oyster and you eat a bunch of them, does that mean you're destroying the universe?
No, it just means that you become the world.
Many worlds.
Yeah. And then if the world is your oyster and you're eating lots of oysters, then you're my world.
All worlds.
We'll have to come back to this.
Yeah, I'm a little unsure.
But I'm a little confused now. What's going on?
I'm just wondering if it's good for the planet to eat that many oysters. But, you know, it's fine.
As far as seafood goes, oysters are not...
The oyster is the world, but the world is not the oyster.
I don't think oysters are eaten at such a massive scale as something like shrimp.
Right.
Or like, you know, salmon or tuna or something.
Sure.
Because I feel like oysters are a little bit more like, I think there's a higher revulsion factor, you know? Like, that people don't eat them as much as, like, they're just not as popular of a seafood, and they're also expensive.
Right.
One, a lot of people think they're gross. Two, they're expensive. Three, people think they're gross and they're expensive.
Yeah, that's... too, but that's all right. I mean, but yeah, I think you're onto something. Most people don't want to spend the money on them,
and usually they're farmed
in love with them.
They're usually farmed in like shallow bay, like beds.
Yeah,
and it's like I don't know. I have an uncle who.
So as an oyster guy, why do you like the Washington ones better? There's something about the flavor of the ocean, apparently.
I think so. The New England ones, and I think this is maybe why some people like them or say that they're better. The New England ones I found to be a little brinier.
Okay.
So just like, it's just that flavor.
Right.
If you kind of like it to be like, and I don't know, I'm sure there's like different ones. I've had like ones that I liked and ones that were like, oh, it's okay. But I think the brininess of what it came out more in the ones that I had on the East Coast. Washington oysters, I felt like tasted a little cleaner.
Okay.
But specific, you know, you have to get pretty granular because it really depends like where they come from in Washington. Because I've also had at like Dan and Louise Oyster Bar, they have an oyster happy hour. So I went there for oyster happy hour and they give you like a bunch of different kinds of oysters.
Okay.
But some of those I found to be like, though I think they were all like Pacific Northwest, and some of them I found to be a little gritty.
Okay.
So I think it really just depends on like where, you know, like where they're sourcing their oysters or like, you know, all of that. But in general, I feel like the flavor on the East Coast is a little more briny and I prefer like the cleaner flavor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, maybe I'll have to try them again because I think that may be part of my turnoff. But
if you want to try oysters and you don't want to spend a lot of money, you go to Jacqueline on Clinton,
right,
between 4 and 5, is happy hour.
They're like $1, right?
And they do dollar oysters. But you have to get there early enough so that you can get a good place in line. But then you get the cheapest oysters in this. They're cheaper than buying them at the supermarket.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jacqueline. Joseph loves you. anyways, moving on to things to do in Boston. Back from the oyster world.
Yeah.
There's the Tea Party Ships Museum.
Okay.
So it's a museum talking about, you know, the famous Tea Party Revolution, and they often reenact the dumping of the tea into the bay on little ships and stuff too. So it's kind of like a performance play and a museum.
Okay.
That's
kind of fun.
Yeah. And then there's ghost tours that are led in the evening. So that's kind of like doing a walking tour at nighttime, but with ghost stories in Boston.
Okay.
And so that's
all right, now we're talking.
So that's something that's exciting to do, you know, learn about Paul Revere's ghost or any other revolutionary heroes or anything else that can kind of tie in with more of that, you know, old American, you know, horror history element about Boston and
absolutely
stuff. And then you really should visit the North End of Boston for the Italian heritage and the Italian food. That's like the Italian district of
it's also
Boston.
Like a pretty old part of Boston too, right?
I think so, yeah.
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 So. I feel like I walked around that area and it was very like narrow streets.
Yeah.
There's like the narrowest house in the country or something. I don't know if it's in the country, but it's like a really narrow house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't go there. I didn't do the day trip to Cambridge when I was there and stuff, and walked around the campus and stuff and things like that, you know, and checked out Harvard and stuff when I went to Boston. And I'm trying to remember the name of the really big park that's famous that everyone goes to. I was going to mention that as part of my Boston itinerary, but it's skipping my brain right now.
It's all good.
Is it Boston Commons? No, Boston Commons is part of Harvard. And then there's a big park.
It's like a park blocks type park, right? Like it's like multiple, and then there's like, you know, these old apartment buildings that are like on either side.
Right. Yeah.
And it reminded me of the park blocks.
Right. But wider and longer and just way more people because it's the East Coast and there's a lot more people.
Yeah. It was more active, more traffic and stuff like that. Yeah. It reminded me of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if that's Boston Commons or the other Boston Greenway or something like this. And also, Jamaica Plain is a neighborhood worth going to for you've got Armenian, it's like an Armenian neighborhood to go to Jamaica Plain, I believe, where you can get like some Armenian food and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's supposed to be good for like, you know, a lot of diversity in food as well to go to Jamaica Plain or North End.
And don't forget about
the Cheers Bar. Yeah, so I didn't go to the Cheers Bar there when I went there the first time. I don't know if I'd go there the second time, but yeah. Or and yeah, of course you got, you know, Sam Adams Brewery and you've can go see a Sox game or you could go see a Patriots game.
I will say the clam chowder that I had at the Cheers Bar was better than any clam chowder that I've had on the West Coast.
Better than anywhere in Fisherman's Wharf, San Francisco.
I haven't had clam chowder at Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. All right. So before you get all offended, you know.
I am a bit offended. Because I'll tell you, next time you go down there, go to Fisherman's Grotto number 6.
I don't know, clam chowder on the West Coast to me is gloopy. It's like they put like thickener in it.
Okay.
And the clam chowder that I had there was like, it was like thickened with cream.
Yeah.
And so it had a very creamy, like actual like cream texture and flavor.
Okay.
So I really liked that because I felt like it wasn't this like gloopiness.
Yeah, it wasn't just thickened with flour.
I'm looking up, Boston Common is a big park in Boston near downtown, like next to downtown.
That's the one by Chinatown.
Yeah. And then the bit, and then the park blocks type, you know, like linear park.
Yeah.
Is called the Commonwealth Avenue Mall.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm talking about the Boston Commons.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And so, that's your city stuff. And then you'll probably get your rental car after that and start hitting the road and doing this road trip.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So you'll scoot out. And like I said, we're going to start with Rhode Island.
And before we set out, I would just like to say you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. This is Life Stamps, stories from here and there. And Tyson's making faces at me right now. I'm Joseph. I'm with Tyson. And we're talking about road tripping through New England. We just covered Boston. And now we're going to the part where you get your car and start your road trip. So we're going to New Hampshire next.
Yep. Honking cars out of the way so we can get to like some ocean cliff in Rhode Island.
I'm the honking car in this scenario.
Yeah.
He's like, get out of the way.
As you may have guessed, one of my highlights about going to Rhode Island, you know, your first couple days on this road trip is going to be to see the ocean cliffs, the Gilded Age, historical mansions. You can also, you know, when after you stay somewhere like in Newport, for example, in Rhode Island, you can do a harbor cruise and then go also explore Fort Adams State Park within the region of Newport. You go to Providence, Rhode Island. It's go to Benefit Street. They've got like all that old world architecture and the colonial architecture and stuff. Also in Providence, it's worth checking out Federal Hill and the Italian rustic cafes within downtown Providence, you know, have like more of like that, like smaller town and Italian charm cafes and stuff. And also in Providence, probably one, if you are the horror novel buff, you'd probably like to go to the Swan Point Cemetery.
Why is that?
H.P. Lovecraft's grave is at the Swan Point Cemetery within Providence. So, you know, those are things you can do. Probably you'll stay in Providence and you'll probably just, or maybe you'd want to stay in Newport because you want to do a little more of that boat stuff, you know, in the water there as well, because they offer some of those harbor cruises and stuff
around
Newport.
But
that more or less lumps up like a few days there of Rhode Island, and then you'll continue further west and make your way over to Connecticut. And while you're there, you can visit Yale University and in New Haven, and check out the art gallery as part of Yale University. It encompasses a lot of different art histories and art conventions and stuff, you know, so it's pretty interesting for the humanities nerd. You'd probably want to check out the art gallery at Yale University.
Cool.
Also, around New Haven, there's a Lighthouse Point Park, which is actually, it's like a beach with a lighthouse. It's a park, and it's got like kind of like one of those classic old kind of Coney Island, like merry-go-rounds and stuff. So I think it was originally going to be one of those like booming like amusement parks from like the 50s or something, you know, so they got some of that stuff there at the park. And then if you want to get some nightlife in and kind of get that vibe of the East Coast nightlife, party life or whatever, go to Chapel Street. That's the university district where Yale students probably go and party among other Ivy League schools and stuff, you know. It's crazy, you know, like when you're on the West Coast, other than like pockets of California, like universities are really spread out far apart. And but like when you're on the East Coast, like you just have these really, really prestigious schools and they're all real close to each other.
And
so it's like that university culture.
You don't really have that. I mean, it's, you just have like one area that has a university.
Right.
And like maybe in a single city, there's like a couple, you know, we have a couple universities here, but I don't really like, you know, think of it like that, where it's like, you know, a cluster of like prestigious universities all together.
Exactly. You know, it's like, it'd be like if Portland had a section where both like Reed and Lewis and Clark and maybe PSU and UP.
UP. UP.
UP.
That's the one in North Portland.
Right. And then Concordia. Like all, like if all five of those were literally just like a district of Portland all put together, you know.
And you see this, like, this type university of university district.
You see this kind of thing, I think, also more prevalent in, like in the East Coast and stuff, or in like little towns.
That's pretty cool.
And stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
how that all like intertwines, like with the old history and stuff.
And just like everything's so much closer together on the East Coast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I think if you were there in the summertime, obviously we're talking about an autumn road trip, but I think within New Haven, Edgerton Park is quite good also because they have like a botanical gardens and they do like Shakespearean plays and stuff in this park. And then for little like side trips, like if you're just like making New Haven your base for a couple of days, it's recommended to take like the Essex train and riverboat route. And I think that's from like the town of Essex, Connecticut.
And is it, it's a train, so it's like a day trip type thing?
Yeah, it's like a train that takes you to a boat, and then you go down this like river stream within Connecticut and stuff, and then, and then somehow it circles back. I'm not sure entirely, but
I see.
But it's a little day excursion you can kind of do from New Haven, or maybe even if you're posted up at, like in another Connecticut.
So this is interesting because like Massachusetts is north. But we're going south first.
Right.
Like Massachusetts is north of Rhode Island, Connecticut. But we're going south first to Rhode Island, then to Connecticut, start with New Haven. And so where are we going to go from there?
From New Haven, then we're going to go north up to Stowe or Burlington, Vermont.
Okay, so all the way up to Vermont.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I still don't think is that long of a drive from, from Connecticut. I think it's, I don't know, maybe.
But we are skipping quite a bit in between because we're going like, you know, I mean, obviously we're going through Massachusetts, but then like Burlington's all the way at the, like the northern end of Vermont.
Right, right.
But you're saying that's probably just like a couple hours. Yeah, because we have to think about the distances are a lot shorter.
They're much shorter, you know, here like in the mini six of New England.
Surprised we're skipping Springfield, America's most unique city.
Oh, yeah, Massachusetts?
Just Springfield, just in general.
Oh, okay.
Because there's like a Springfield in every state.
I don't know if there's one in Connecticut, to be fair.
Yeah.
Or in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
There's probably one in Massachusetts. But
it's the capital of Massachusetts.
Springfield?
Huh. Isn't it? Where's Boston?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, so moving on.
Yeah, you're full of great trivia questions today. You're probably going to ask me stuff. I don't know.
I think I don't think Springfield's the capital of Massachusetts, but anyway, keep going.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's next?
So
Burlington, Vermont?
Yeah, well, we're going to go to Stowe first, you know, which is more of a smaller
Stowe. How do you spell that?
S-T-O-W-E.
Okay.
Yeah. And within Stowe, it's recommended for, you know, to check out the local farms and the local producers. Mm-hmm. One goodly, highly recommended one would be check out Cold Hollow Cider.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously Vermont is well known for its maple syrup and its apple production of cider, its dairy, its ice cream.
Okay, all great things.
Yeah, Vermont cheese, Ben and Jerry's. So, you know, this is the good eating part of, well, I mean, I think you got good eating in all of these places and stuff, you know, but Vermont is a little different. It's a little more like Oregon on the East Coast in terms of its cuisine than I would say like, you know, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Maine, Massachusetts get a lot more get a lot more seafoody, you know, and stuff. And then Vermont obviously gets a lot more like farm to table and, you know, local farms and everything, you know. And you, mind you, this is really different things that one can do because really the idea is like you sell yourself on the idea that you're going to do a 2-week leaf peeping road trip.
You know,
so you're going to see beautiful fall leaves everywhere you go.
Right.
And changing color. These are,
that's a given.
Yeah. So this is all this other stuff is just suggestionary. And this is my like route, you know, different things you can
do. So like the main event is seeing all the leaves and then all the other stuff is like, oh, you can also do this other thing because you'll probably, you know, like not get tired of looking at leaves, but you know, you'll probably be like, okay, what are some other things to do?
Right. And then also one drive on a random road in Vermont that's worth a drive is called Smuggler's Notch Leaf Drive.
I mean, that just sounds fun.
Yeah, so Smuggler's Notch Leaf Drive should be a really whimsical country Vermont road, you know, maybe taking you through some covered bridges and stuff and really beautiful trees and, you know, just cool fall foliage. And you can check out Mount Mansfield. That's one of the higher points of the Green Mountain Range of southern Vermont, I believe. And so then you can get a pretty good view of the entire state if you summit and hike up to the top of that. Mm-hmm. Lake Champlain Park within the city of Burlington is really quite good. It's got nice ambiance. There's ships that leave from there that go to Canada, mm-hmm. and then to some other places. I think there's a couple boats that'll take you to like upstate New York from there.
Yeah.
And stuff. And then they have like a really nice kind of like elevated like park that overlooks the whole lake with a bike path and stuff in Burlington. Mm-hmm. And so that's a nice place just to chill and relax. Mm-hmm. There's also what they've got like a pedestrian street mall within Burlington, which is called Church Street.
Okay.
And that's littered with like quirky shops of, you know, just art, like, you know, like whether it's people making God's eyes with yarn or local books and, mm-hmm. you know, just local craft artsy type of things and quirky cafes, you know, and different types of local, like jam shops, mm-hmm. pie shops, cafes, you know, good, like, kind of like organic-y, like little diner cafe kind of places and stuff are littered within that pedestrian mall area mm-hmm. of Burlington and stuff. So,
okay,
it's a good place to kind of check out some different stuff.
Yeah.
Basically.
Love all the stuff.
Yeah. Also,
stuff is great.
Another, if you're into waterfalls mm-hmm. with, you know, cool leaves, Moss Glen Falls in Vermont is worth going there and check out the wildlife and do some hiking there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the creamery tours and the cheese tours, the cheese factory tours and the ice cream shops and stuff, you know, it's not just Ben and Jerry's in Vermont. Mm-hmm. So you can find all that stuff out within the state. Another one that's quite good is called Flume Gorge, mm-hmm. waterfalls and hiking. I think this one has a pretty high, like, rickety bridge that you can walk across a gorge with nice. A waterfall
okay.
and stuff. And then Morse Farm Maple Sugar Works,
okay.
which will probably show you the production of how they tap the maple from the trees and then process it. And
you get some fresh maple syrup?
All kind, not just syrup. Though. I mean, there's a lot of different like maple products that they will specialize in as well, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, keeping it nice and maple-y and stuff as you go there.
Maybe some maple stroop waffles.
Yeah, so there's definitely...
Oh,
yeah.
Just hold on. Just going to do a little quick time check. It's we have about like 15 minutes.
Okay.
10 cool. to 15 minutes.
All right. Well, we'll speed on through the... I can never pronounce it right. The nickname for the Kankanagis Highway is just called the Kank.
The Kank, okay.
Yeah, so nickname the Kank.
Okay.
And this is after you're leaving Vermont, going through the White Mountains, which is like the northern mountain range, you know, that's mm-hmm. shared with Vermont and New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And it's like a 35-mile scenic drive. And then it connects the towns of Lincoln mm-hmm. and Conway, New Hampshire.
Okay.
East to west, going through the mountain range. It's like 35 miles. You'll drive through there. And then while you're going through other parts of New Hampshire, I think not all these are like along the Kank necessarily, mm-hmm. but things you can check out in the New Hampshire region. There's the Boulder Loop Trail, mm-hmm. The Champagne Falls Trail. So there's a lot of hiking to do in New Hampshire, essentially. Mm-hmm. Sabine Falls, which is like a multi-tier cascades mm-hmm. fall that, you know, that kind of goes next to a, like a moss pool mm-hmm. That it finishes out in, you know. Mm-hmm. Alpine Adventures in Lincoln, New Hampshire is something you could do as like recreational zip lining and other type of alpine activities, mm-hmm. you know. It's kind of like your starter pack of like mountain activities and like a adventure park mm-hmm. kind of thing that you can do before you actually make your way on the Kank and, you know, try to do some of the stuff reforming, mm-hmm. rock climbing, whatever.
Nice.
And then when you finish off it in, like, say in Conway at the eastern edge of the state in New Hampshire before popping into Maine, there's a place called Cathedral Ledge, mm-hmm. which is supposed to be like a high hilltop or whatever that kind of overlooks the town mm-hmm. of Conway and stuff. And ironically, when I like got into food with New Hampshire, it's not as like prevalent in like all this delicious farm stuff like Vermont has. It's a lot more kind of like country eating.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of like if you were to compare like, you know, really good foods that you would get, say, I don't know, like at a farmer's market in Eugene or something. Mm-hmm. And then you went, you know, just to like... Grants Pass or something, you know, right. And then it's just kind of like just local country food.
Okay. You know, so it's just, it's like the different, within different parts of Vermont, it might be, you might have a different experience.
That too, but definitely, it seems like there's definitely that difference between Vermont and New Hampshire.
New Hampshire
is not really as farmer proud, it seems.
Oh, I see.
Like okay. Vermont is. And then yeah. to be fair, they may not have as many flat, rolling, lush, fertile valleys. It may just
right.
be more mountainous in general, kind of.
I understand.
In New Hampshire.
Even though like the vibe, the scenery might kind of look a little similar, but it's like the culture is a little different.
Yeah, because I've never been there. I've been to Maine, I've been to Vermont, but I haven't actually been to New Hampshire. So like it's quite possibly it's just a little bit more of a small mountainous state.
Yeah.
That separates the two, you know, and the two different climate zones and stuff.
Gotcha.
So, but, you know, then after you do kind of leave like the New Hampshire, you know, mountain road trippy thing, you're going back to coastal waters and you're going to make your way to Bar Harbor or to Portland, Maine. And, you know, while within Maine, it's recommended to check out Acadia National Park.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of Bar Harbor.
Yeah.
Of course.
I want to go there.
And then, you know, you can actually see seals and whales from boat tours and stuff from Maine. Mm-hmm. I think not quite as well as you would from Rhode Island or from Connecticut. So while in Maine, that's a chance to see some bigger wildlife out in the waters. And then, you know, Bar Harbor's got a cute little waterfront shop area, eateries, cafes, lobster rolls.
Yeah, for sure.
Recommended to check out the Abe Museum for there's the local Inuit peoples of this region were called the Wabanaki. And then this museum talks about the Wabanaki people and stuff of Maine and stuff and their traditions and just the things they did.
Cool.
And then, of course, the old Port District, similarly in Portland, is great. You know, they pretty much, like, if it's a Chinese restaurant, they have lobster somehow on the menu. If it's an ice cream shop, they may still have a way of figuring out how to do lobster as dessert and stuff. You know, you can find lobster in any random place you go into in Portland. You know, so it's kind of interesting there.
Did you say lobster as dessert?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go as far as say lobster. So I went into this place that does ice cream, but also has snacks, and they had what was called a lobby pop.
Oh, okay.
And it basically
like a frozen lobster thing.
It was basically lobster on a stick with a little thing of butter that you can dip and stuff, okay, you know. Okay. So, but they're making it look like a confection.
Yeah.
even though it's savory.
Just like lobster. Okay. Yeah. I see.
But
just
I
like
mean,
a little lobster snack.
But there's like the Italian places have like lobster linguine, and there's pizzerias that'll put lobster on it.
Yeah.
You know what
just
I mean?
Just like lobster everywhere.
It's just lobsters. Yeah. Just an option.
Yeah.
You can just get on any type of food you can imagine when you're in Portland.
Yeah.
And awesome. One more thing recreational wise that's recommended, you know, while in Portland is kayaking Casco Bay Islands. So there's like little islands out there in the water and you can kayak to them and stuff, you know. And the hit or miss, the weather in September, you know, when it's sunny, the fall leaves and the foliage are going to look great. But it's also, you could already start getting early cold, rainy weather. So pack your rain gear, you know, for this road trip too, because you don't know when the conditions will change and you may find yourself more wanting to like stay in a cafe and have some chowder and some coffee.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say, you know, just depending on what it'll do for you.
gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that is super, super, like, that sounds like a fun trip. We need to get to the next part.
Okay.
Trivia.
Let's move on to trivia and see how well you've been listening today, Joseph.
I'm less confident this week, but, you know, we'll see.
All right.
Okay, now let's move on to trivia and comments. Trivia time. Trivia time, hip hip hooray. Listener comments as well, handled the Life Stamps way. Today and every day.
All All right, Joseph, since you're going to be a time Nazi, I'm going to have to do rapid fire trivia today since we're running short on time.
Time stickler.
Stickler. We got 7 questions for you.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
Where is Yale University?
Yale? It's in Connecticut.
And?
In the town of Yale.
No, the town's called New Haven.
Okay, it's in New Haven, Connecticut. Yeah. All right, 1 point for me. Next.
Half point. Half. Name of the Italian neighborhood in Boston. What is it?
The North End.
There you go. Other than cider and dairy products, what else is commonly produced in Vermont?
Maple syrup.
Maple products. Mm-hmm. Name of the bay that's great for kayaking when you're in Portland, Maine.
Hub Bay.
Casco Bay.
Casco Bay.
No.
Meh.
Where is H.P. Lovecraft buried?
He is buried in New Haven.
Nope.
He's buried in Vermont, Maine.
No. Swan Point Cemetery in Providence, Rhode Island.
He's buried in New England.
Rhode Island, Swan Point Cemetery. No.
Swan Point Cemetery in Rhode Island.
What's the name of the town in New Hampshire for Alpine Adventures Park?
I don't know.
Lincoln,
New Hampshire.
Lincoln, New Hampshire.
Gotcha.
Who's the colonist that named New England?
John Smith.
Yeah. What's the name of the famous food hall in Boston with 50 different eateries?
Quincy.
There you go, Quincy Market.
Quincy Market.
You got some wrong, but that's all right.
You did better than I expected.
You definitely did better than I expected.
Yeah. I did better than you expected.
You did. You did.
Well, yeah. You know, yeah. I had to set the expectations low so that I could do better.
Yeah. So we don't have time for comments today. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say to all our listeners, you know, get your comments ready for season 7. This concludes season 6 of Life Stamped. Also, our radio presence here on KBOO.FM. Mm-hmm. We've been happy to be on the radio as well. But be ready for us coming in the wintertime. We'll come back with season 7. And what else do you have to say about the next season, Joseph?
Well, I also just want to say thank you to our listeners. It's been really lovely having this show on the radio and sharing joy through travel. That's really been the purpose of the show, is just to, you know, choose places that we love or that we think are interesting. And just talk about, you know, what would be an itinerary if we were going to go to that place, what would we do? And it's been a lot of fun just exploring the world and sharing that knowledge with all of you. So thank you for listening. And if you love our show, or if you like it a little bit, or if you want to keep listening to it, you can always find us on Spotify, Life Stamps. And as Tyson said, we'll be back on Spotify only in January.
Maybe January, maybe earlier.
Maybe earlier.
Yeah. We don't know. We're just going to have to figure that out.
But. Yeah, just keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's pretty much it. You know. And thanks everybody for a wonderful season.
Yeah.
And I hope everyone had a great summer and got to do many wonderful adventures that they all hoped that they wanted to this summer.
Yeah, I'm ready for cool weather.
Yeah, time to cool off and embrace the second half of the year.
Absolutely. All right. Until next time.
Until next time.
Happy travels.
Listening to Life Stamps, stories from here and there on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. Join us in 2 weeks for our next episode. Until next time, happy traveling.
This is Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, and this is KBOO Portland.
KBOO's loud and proud. Become a member during our KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive, taking place now through September 20th. Your